The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1 with Elavon Merchant Services. Growing your business is easy peasy with us by your side.
Let's keep going and say hello to Dr. Lindsay Myers. Good morning, Lindsay.
Hello, Ryan.
Nice to talk to you.
And you too.
You are a busy person because as we were talking this morning, I was mentioning the fact that there's so many young children from Ukraine populating our schools around the country. And you're a lecturer in Italian and children's studies in Galway, NUI Galway. And this all ties together because you got in touch with us to tell us about what you're doing. Can you share your story with us?
Yeah, well, I have a wonderful student who has done some picture books herself. And she made a book called I Want to Speak French. And I launched one of her books along with a book that I wrote earlier with my daughter called Mutzi and the Awfully Big Bite.
I remember that.
Yeah, and we were chatting afterwards and I was saying, you know, this is such a wonderful idea what you've done in this book, because it was a book about how a child, a young girl, went to France, and because of the exchange and because of her encounter with the French culture, she wanted to learn French. And I thought it was just a wonderful way to approach learning a language. You know, you don't sit down and learn the language just in an abstraction, but you want to learn it because you want to know more about a culture, you want to communicate. And I thought, yeah, he's got something there, you know.
Yes.
So we were chatting about maybe doing I Want to Speak Italian, and we definitely will at some point. And then, of course, we were thinking about Ukraine, and we were saying, you know, wouldn't it be lovely actually to have that sort of same model, but to use it as a way to kind of reflect the reality of what's happening to the Ukrainian refugees coming to Ireland, and also for the children in Irish schools to see themselves reflected also in this book, because it would be about this encounter between cultures. And I was so excited by the idea, because there's a lot of books out there that are kind of bilingual, where you have, you know, one picture, and then you have the two versions side by side. And there's a lot of benefit to that, because it is good for sort of learning a language, learning English, certainly, you know, if the other language is not English, it's kind of a way to help people to learn English. But it also, I think, is a little bit limited, because if you're English, you're just going to read the English version, really. You're not going to bother trying to learn the, you know, the Ukrainian version. So I thought it would be nice to have a book that was in English, but had some Ukrainian words in it, and also some Irish words in it. So it would kind of be like trilingual, which is really different. And then to actually get that book translated into Ukrainian, but to have then English and Irish words in the Ukrainian version, so that, you know, both versions would be out there, but that there would be a sort of integratedness in these books. So Bloin and I decided to just put our, you know, our skills together and make this book called I Want to Speak Ukrainian, and see if we could get it out there to the Ukrainian refugee centres, to the schools. And yeah, just see if we could open a conversation essentially between these two lots of children who really are kind of find themselves together without really having any connection or any you know, any possibility to understand what each other is where they've been and what they are going through, in a sense.
So the Ukrainian child has I Want to Speak Ukraine. How does it work?
They would have both. So what we've done is we've made the book in English with Ukrainian words in it, and we wanted to acknowledge the fact that there's a different alphabet, essentially. The Ukrainians use the Cyrillic alphabet, you know, we use the Roman alphabet. And normally when you come across, because I've bought quite a lot of books online that I could access to try and do research around this, you know, mostly they would have the Ukrainian would be translated into the pronunciation guide in Roman, and that's the Roman alphabet, so people know how to pronounce the words. Because if you look at Ukrainian, you don't know where to start. But at the same time, that means then that nobody sees the Cyrillic alphabet. And I think that's so interesting. I mean, I remember when I was in school, obviously I love languages. I went into, you know, teaching languages, but I'd never heard of the Cyrillic alphabet. And, you know, I think children are very interested in these things. And, you know, why not just, you know, expand their knowledge and let them see the Cyrillic alphabet? So what we have, every time there's a Ukrainian word in the text, we have the Cyrillic alphabet sort of slightly above the line, and then we have the Roman pronunciation guide slightly under the line. So that if you're reading it in your English, you know how to pronounce it. But if you have a Ukrainian refugee, for example, in the class or one or more, that what they can do is they can read the Cyrillic and the children in the class can hear them reading it. And we had an experience with that as well, because we took the book into the PDF of the book once it came out. I shared it with the children in St. Nicholas Parochial School in Galway. And they have a Ukrainian refugee there called Angel. And she read the Ukrainian words out every time we got to them, or the little phrases. And it was just so beautiful. You know, it was so heartwarming, actually, to see her feeling acknowledged in the class. The rest of the class were in awe, you know, because she sounded so wonderful when she said these Ukrainian words.
No, it's lovely. She becomes the star.
Yeah. And then immediately there was, you know, because we did research about it. We also wanted it to be authentic culturally, because there's no point in kind of, you know, just reading about Ukraine and then putting in things that are stereotypical or have no resonance. You know, it'd be like writing a book about Ireland and having leprechauns in it, or, you know, thatched cottages. You know, I didn't want to do that. So we actually, myself and Blohi, my student, made contact with the Ukrainian, many members of the Ukrainian community in Galway, and we talked a lot to them about, you know, what is the reality of, like, for a child? What would it have been like before the war? You know, what kind of things would they be, would make them feel at home, and what foods would they eat, and what cultural elements would resonate with them? And we were so lucky. We got to, the actual cover of the book, there's the girl in it is there,
yes,
but there's also
here,
an
yes.
egg,
yes.
a Pasanka egg, and I know people who've watched the news and that around Easter would have seen, you know, that this was such a big thing for the Ukrainian community.
You decorate the egg,
together.
Yes.
And decorating these eggs with hot wax and dyes. And we actually got to do that with some Ukrainians who were hosting an event at Easter. And that egg was actually what my student Blahi made. That is her egg on the front of the book. And so I suppose that meant that we really feel that that book is authentic, you know, that we really did make those encounters. And, you know, I think that it comes through in the book as well, that there is a sense of the culture being real in it.
Well, I have to say, I've got the two copies here in front of me. I want to speak Ukrainian, obviously in Ukrainian and in English. And credit to you both, but Blahin's illustrations, which have that lovely Charlie and Lola feel to them, are really knockout. They are just so, they're different. Sometimes, you know, illustrations can be a little bit off and they just don't quite capture it, or they might not be as brilliant as they should be, but you've got it. And there's something really... It's kind of quirky, but really welcome about your illustrations, and they're really eye-catching. So this book needs to be in all the schools to try and make these these brave children, feel a little more welcome and included as much as they can. And also for Irish kids to learn a few words to get them by and make everyone happy. So how many books have you got into classes around Galway?
It's only just gone to the printers, so it isn't back yet. I can't hold a physical copy yet.
Oh, sorry, okay.
On PDF, but
yes.
It will be back to us on the 23rd of May. And I suppose we're really lucky in that I got such support from the university, because
right.
this was a book that we had to turn around in a very short space of time. And that's why we went with a kind of self-publishing route rather than, because it takes so long. Publishers already have everything in line that they're going to publish this year. And, you know, it's just very difficult to get something out quickly. So, and Blahin had already had experience, and so would I, with the self-publishing route. So we thought, we'll do this, and then at least we can, you know, we can get the book out there and then see what happens after that. But I was lucky because the School of Languages, Literatures and Cultures in NUI Galway and the Arts Office in NUI Galway both kind of stood straight away, like went behind us financially. So they gave us €5,000, which is a lot to get, you know, just very quickly for a book. So we've been able with that money to publish, to get 4,000 copies printed. And these are going to go, so it'll be 2,000 Ukrainian ones and 2,000 English ones. All the Ukrainian ones will be going free to, you know, the Ukrainian community, to the schools. We're not, you know, that's what we're doing there. And the 2,000 English copies as well will be going to schools in Galway and refugee centres. So the idea is that, you know, the Ukrainian children will get both. They'll get an English one and a Ukrainian one. You know, it's not a case of, you know, splitting up on Ukrainians to one group and English to the other. It's more that it shows that this book can exist in two forms and it's integrated in both forms. And I think that's a nice way of kind of doing it, rather than having that bilingual split, you know, in a single book.
Wouldn't it be great to see it in every school in Ireland?
It would be fantastic. I mean, yeah. What we have is we have the book. We will give the book now free to anybody who could essentially get it printed up and get it out there into the schools. We will now, with those 4,000 copies, we'll be able to give, you know, some copies to every school in Galway. Mm. We have about 230 schools in Galway, so, you know, they'll get a certain amount of copies each. Some will go to the refugee centres, but we obviously can't. It's not within our, you know, we don't have the capacity.
Let me ask you the rude question. How much would cover this to get all these books into schools around the country, roughly?
Well, I suppose I'm just trying to figure it out. There's 230 schools in Galway. There's, I think, 3,000 schools in the entire of Ireland.
Yeah.
So, you know, we covered ours with, you know, 5,000. So that's kind of the math there. You just have to divide 3,000 by 250, and that's about what we're talking. There'd probably be even more of a saving, because if you print in bulk, obviously, there's always more.
So give me a round figure. I don't do maths, so give me a round figure.
Okay, so we've got 250 into 1,000 is 4 times, and then into 30,000 for 8, 12. Probably 12 by 3. So 30,000-ish, I'd say, yeah.
Okay. Sorry for putting you on the spot there.
No,
Lizzie.
It's all right. I was just trying to work it out. It's not much, really, in terms of...
In the great scheme of things, it's not. And I'm thinking of our friends in Children's Books Ireland, who would have benefited greatly from the Toy Show Peel, and this would be a lovely. They may have it all spent already. I could be speaking out of turn here, but wouldn't it be lovely for somewhere like that? Or, as you say, maybe a sponsor might come on board and say, "No, I want every child from Ukraine and indeed from Ireland." If If you got the 30 grand, would that mean that that these books would go into every class?
Yeah, wow. It would, okay. Yeah. And I mean, I do think I've seen it in action, so I can say that it does really do what we wanted it
I
to
bet
do.
You do. And what about the department? Are they interested in helping?
Again, I mean, I don't know. I've written to the minister. I have, you know, I'm open to any kind of discussions. I haven't heard back yet.
Okay.
But, you know, even an educational publisher, I think, you know, I mean, I really would be love to just talk to somebody about this. I think it would be great to kind of get it out there. There's been so much interest from teachers because, I mean, I've been talking a lot about it online as well. And, you know, I'm going to put up a teacher's pack as well with some extra resources to go with it to help teachers to sort of see how they might expand on some of the themes. So, you know, there's a lot of potential there. And I know teachers in other counties are saying, you know, wish we had it as well. And, you know, that they might go on to the Galway Education Centre and have a look at the resources. But it would be lovely if they could actually have the book as well, you know.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I love it.
Yeah,
and we can all learn a little bit from that. Paula says, we have two little boys, age 8 and 10, from Ukraine, living with us in Dublin, going to school in Rathmines, and they are here 2 months, still have very little English. I would love to test this PDF book on them and see if the teachers will try from the other side. Please ask the author to get in touch. If I had a Ukrainian child in my classroom, or in my house, actually, I wouldn't even need to be in the school, wouldn't this book be such a lovely talking point? They might open up a little bit about it too. And actually, it wouldn't matter what age, because really it's just about getting the basic language. Like we were saying earlier on about the Osborne books and things in DK, these are books that, regardless of your age or education, you just want to share a few words with somebody.
But also, I think, Ryan, there's just so much validation in seeing yourself reflected in literature.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, I mean, we could get in bilingual books. You know, there are bilingual books coming in from other, you know, from the UK and that, and you could, you know, they're free for schools and everything. But I think this is about the Irish experience of someone in Ireland, a girl in Ireland who's hosting a Ukrainian refugee and her mother and their cat. They're coming to their house, they're coming to the school, and it's a real story. It's a story about, you know, that experience in Ireland, which is very, very real. And it's a totally different thing from getting a book that happens to be a Ukrainian folktale translation into English. You know, so I think it's quite unique, and I've had a lot of interest internationally in it as well. People saying that maybe it should be a model for other countries, and that, you know, it's in that way it's quite pioneering. And I do think, in terms of the PDF, I mean, obviously the PDF is available in the sense that, you know, it's a nice thing to have a PDF to show in class, but I think it's not the solution. And there's something wonderful about having a little book that you can hold in your hand, put in your school library, actually hold, you know, maybe take home that night. It's much better than
something
on a screen, you know. So that's why we've gone with the route of like publishing these books, getting the books out there. It's a children's book, like it's not a teaching tool in the sense of something you would project on a screen, and that would be it.
Yes, well said, Lindsay. It's a wonderful initiative, and to you and to Bláthnaid Brannock, congratulations on this endeavour. I suspect there's more to come in for all the right reasons. So we'll talk again.
Well, Bláthnaid definitely has a great future, and
no
I totally agree with you that her work is stunning.
Yeah, it really is. Thanks for your time this morning, and I know that Charlie Burns Bookshop, great Charlie Burns Bookshop in Galway, you can order this book online there.
Yeah, they also have a few copies, and just to say that the extra copies are being funded by myself out of my own pocket, and any monies will go to the Ireland for Ukraine charity if
Good
we make anything from those books. Yeah.
Fair play. Lindsay, thanks for your time this morning. Lovely to talk to you again. That's Dr. Lindsay Myers, who's a lecturer in Italian and Children's Studies at the NUI in Galway. It's a great initiative, that is. I love it. So hopefully the goods will start coming in regard to getting more of those books published.